You would turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 for our thoughts this morning. Romans chapter 7. You get there, if you would, please stand as we honor the Lord as we share His Word and read it. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Excuse me. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. You should be married to another, give to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for this time. Please give me the words to say, Lord, that you've laid upon my heart. Again, I ask that you just bless your word this morning, the breaking of the bread of it, life. And we just ask, Lord, that you speak and minister to the hearts of your people here. Lord, if there's one that knows you not, pray they'd be saved. Lord, again, your word never returns to us void. It always reaches its intended purposes, and our prayer is it'll do that today. Be with me, Lord. Let me get self out of the way, and just let me be used of you in a mighty way for your glory and your honor. I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Y'all heard the old adage that there's only two things that are certain, and that's death and taxes. Now, I've never experienced physical death yet, but I have experienced the IRS. How about you? And one of these days, when I die, they're not going to be able to touch me no more. Amen? Now, they may bill my family, but they're not going to touch me because I'm dead. And that's what Paul's trying to get across to the believers, new believers there, that he had won to Christ. You see, they were raised in the law. And let me just say, the law was given as a schoolmaster. It was given, and yes, there's nothing wrong with the law. The only problem is us, because we can't keep the law. And what I was going to say is, when you read the book of Romans, and I want you to understand, that is a powerful book. The Apostle Paul, oh my goodness, what he teaches. And if we were just able to grasp what he teaches and apply it, oh my goodness. I mean, in chapter 5, he teaches that we have eternal life. It's everlasting. We're never going to lose it. And then in chapter 6, especially the last part of that, it deals with an analogy of a slave and a master. And that slave, before we come to Christ, was us, because we were slaves to sin. And it was our master. But after becoming born again, after becoming a blood-bought believer, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are slaves to a new master, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He has delivered us from the power of sin. And then we get to 7 here in the verses that we just read for our text. And the Apostle Paul is now using another analogy. And it's a husband and wife. And it's speaking about the law. Now, a lot of people will say, well, the law's been done away with. No, listen to me. It's not been done away with. You say, oh, no, it was nailed to the cross. Yes. What he's talking about when the Word tells us in Colossians that it was nailed to the cross was that when Jesus died, He fulfilled the law. That's what it's talking about. But the law was given to point us to Christ. And as long as we are still alive, physically, then the law is still over us. But when we die, we're no longer under the law. It can't reach us. And I'm thankful for that. Let me give you an example so that we know we're on the same page. When Lee Harvey Oswald assassinated John F. Kennedy, and he was caught, there was laws in the state of Texas, and there was also federal laws in the United States. Right? And they were going to bring him to justice. But Jack Ruby went into that Dallas police station and shot him and killed him. And he died. Therefore, there was no longer any law from the state of Texas or federal law from the United States that could touch him anymore. It would have been silly to have brought him before a court of law, him being dead. And that's what the Apostle Paul is wanting to teach us about the law. So let's begin with verse 1. It says, know ye not, brethren? Who's he talking to? Believers! He says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. And I want you to understand, they knew the law. They were raised in the law. In fact, they were told they had better keep every little jiggle of it. So they knew the law. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. There's laws. And as long as we're alive, whether they're man's laws or God's laws, as long as we are alive, those laws have dominion over us. But when we die, it's done. Look at verse 2. Now, this is where he uses the analogy of a husband and wife. And I want you to get this. He says, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. You're bound to me. Sorry. 42 years of being bound. When we stood before God and made our vows before Him, we said that we would honor, love, and cherish one another till death do us part. She's bound to me, I'm bound to her, and we're both bound to God. Amen? So as long as I'm alive, she's bound by the laws of the land concerning holy matrimony and God's law. Right? Now notice what it says. So long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So, I don't plan on going anywhere yet. The Lord could have another idea. But as long as I'm alive, she's bound to me. But if I die, she's free to remarry. If she died, I would be free to remarry. I'll go ahead and tell you, ain't no way. I'm just going to tell you, it's been 42 years and she still ain't trained. Hey, I had to throw that in. Listen, she was already trained. She tells everybody in my family that she raised me. So, anyway. Now notice with me. Notice what it says. If he's dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. But look at what Paul says in verse 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called what? An adulteress. Boy, we Baptists hate to read this third verse. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say a few things. Y'all get mad at me if you want to, but I've been called to preach the gospel. I'm not going to soft-toe it. God ordained marriage. He intends it to be between a man and a woman, and He intends on it to be till death do you part. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Jesus said this, that from the beginning it wasn't so, because when a man and a woman are joined together, they become one flesh. And He said, what? Whatsoever God's joined together, let no man put asunder. In other words, don't let nobody come in between you and your wife. Now, the Bible tells us there's only two ways out of a marriage. One is when you're laid up in a box. And two, fornication, adultery. Now, listen to me. If you cannot forgive that erring spouse, then the Bible says you can get a divorce for that reason. But those are the only two reasons. If you can forgive, God would have you and I to what? Reconcile. And there's many marriages that have went through that. And guess what? They were reconciled by the Lord and His grace. And those marriages are stronger now than they've ever been. So there's nothing wrong with that. But notice what Paul's trying to get across. Now, if her husband be dead, she's loose from the law. She can marry again. But if her husband's still alive, she's broken the laws of the land. Right? That's what he's saying. And she's not supposed to remarry. And let me just say this too. And Paul addresses it in 1 Corinthians. A legal separation is scriptural. If you and your wife are having problems, and boy, there's lots of problems in the home today. If you and your wife are having problems according to the Word of God, you can legally separate. But you can't date. You can't remarry. Amen? But I tell you, a lot of people like to put the cart before the ox today. Well, I'm separated. I can date. No. When you're separated, you're supposed to be in prayer. When you're separated, you're supposed to be getting godly counsel. When you're separated, you and your wife are supposed to communicate and talk so that y'all can be reconciled together. Again, before I marry anybody, I counsel. And I've literally, in all my years of ministry, I've had some say, well, we're going to try marriage, and if it don't work out, she can go her way, I'll go mine. No, that's not what the Bible teaches, and no, I ain't marrying yet. Because that's contrary to the Word of God. And you folks have no business getting married if that's the attitude you're bringing into that union. Oh, don't work out, pan out. I'll go my way, you go yours. Now, listen to what he says. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. And just let me say again, we've probably got some widows in our midst. After your spouse died, according to the Word of God, you are free to remarry again. I don't mean you will. My grandmother, my goodness. She was 48 when my grandfather passed away, cancer. And she died when she was 93. Never dated, never remarried. And we were always teasing her, Granny, go get us a rich grandpa. granny. You can get married. It's okay. Go get us a rich grandpa. Nope, there was only one. That was the man I loved and I gave my heart to, and there ain't ever going to be another. And I respected her for that. Amen. Because that was true love. True love. Now, let's jump down to 4. It's fixing to get real good here. He says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." Look at verse 6 in chapter 6 of Romans. "Knowing that this our old man is crucified with him with the body of sin that might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." What's he talking about? Talking about that body of Christ. He's talking about when Jesus Christ went to the cross and died on Calvary for the sins of the world, and we trusted Him as our personal Savior, we died also with Him. And because we are dead in Christ, we are no longer under the law. That's what it means. No longer are we under the law. Because what Jesus did on the cross was He fulfilled the law. And He paid with His life in full for all of us. And because of it, we're dead to the law. The law no longer has dominion over us. That ought to make a Baptist shout. Because we're dead to the law. Now, notice what it says here. The body of Christ. And that you should be married to another. Who's he talking about? Being married to Christ. You see, before the law was our wicked old cruel husband that always set standards we could never, ever keep. It was always bringing up our failures, always telling us, "You'll never make it. You are doomed. There is no hope because you can't keep the law." But yet, we're told that we're married to another husband who is Jesus Christ, and He doesn't bring up our past. He doesn't bring up our failures. We have been washed by the blood of Christ. We have been redeemed. We have been forgiven of our sins, given eternal life. We have peace with God. And guess what? We don't have to worry about spending eternity in hell. Amen. Beloved, that ought to make you shout. That is good stuff. Amen. We're married to Jesus. Aren't you glad you're in Him this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Now notice, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, I watched, and I never do this, but I watched a little bit of CNN. And it happened to be the night that that Yahoo said that Jesus wasn't perfect. I'm going to tell you, even though he says he was raised in a Baptist church, I don't know what kind of Baptist church that was. Because I'm going to tell you, there's not one of God's ordained churches that doesn't preach and teach that Jesus was perfect. Listen, that's the only way He could die and atone for our sins. That's the only way the Father would accept His sacrifice for our sins. He had to be perfect. And by the way, the law was given to point us that we weren't perfect. And the only one that could be perfect and the only one that could fulfill the law was Christ and Him alone. That's it. But when you doubt the perfection of Christ, then it makes it easy to doubt about Him being resurrected. And I'm here to tell you, God has raised Him from the dead. I'm here to tell you, you can go over to Israel, You can go to Joseph of Arimathea's tomb where they say it is. And I've been there a couple times. Guess what? Ain't nobody there. Because he's risen. He's not here. He's risen. Amen. Notice what it says. Who raised from the dead that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, I think it's 9 or 10, I think it's 10, where he says, for we are his workmanship, amen, in Christ Jesus, created unto good works. Now that word workmanship means this, we're his masterpieces. And when we come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he receives us and saves us, listen to me, we become his masterpiece. Created for good works. Go to Galatians chapter 2, real quick. Real quick. Galatians chapter 2. This is what Paul's trying to say. Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 19. He says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. And look at the next verse, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What Paul's trying to say is, we are his masterpieces that have been created under good works, and this is how we do the good works. Because Christ is living in us and through us. And let me just say this too. While we're in that area, go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. John 15 tells us that he's the vine, we're the branches. The first 8 verses tells us that we, as his children, are to produce fruit, right? And let me tell you how you know if you're part of the vine and if you're producing fruit. Over here in Galatians, this is what Paul writes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And beloved, listen to me. Here is how you can tell the difference between a believer and a non-believer. You see, a non-believer, he might accomplish a few of these things on his own, but he'll never do it very long. But for a believer, I assure you we will produce fruit, and the fruit of the Spirit will be in us. And not only will it be in us and change us, but it'll come out externally so that the world can see. Those are things that we're called to do because we're masterpieces of God. We're his workmanship. Now go back to our text. That's some good stuff, isn't it? Notice that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, these last two verses, I still might have you out here by 3 o'clock. These last two verses, notice the comparison. Paul is telling us what we were before we were crucified with Christ and what we are after coming to Christ, being crucified from the law. Notice what he says. He says, for when we were in the flesh. This is talking about before we were saved. When we were in the flesh, me and you couldn't walk to please God if we tried. We were unrighteous, and we gave in to the whims and desires of this flesh. Why? Because we were born with a sinful nature. Now listen to me. Since I've been saved, I still have a sinful nature. Do you? Y'all better tell the truth. We do. Listen, my flesh never got redeemed. My soul did. Spiritually, I'm a new man. Spiritually, I want to do and I desire the things of God. But in the old carnal flesh, when I walk after the flesh, I do things of the flesh, right? So notice what he says. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin. Think about the motions of sin. You see, the motions of sin was this. The law said, thou shalt not. And the motions of sin said, oh yes, we can. The law says, no, you're forbidden. Do not do that. But we say, oh, I don't care what you say. I want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. And that's how we were before we were crucified with Christ and the law. Notice what he says. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, and again, the law was given to show us we couldn't keep it. And again, the law always set standards that were unattainable. You say, well, why did God give the law? Was there something wrong with the law? Is the law evil? No. Please understand me. The law is not evil. The law was given to point us to our need for Christ. That's why the law was given. Notice what he says. For when we were in the flesh, motions or sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. You see, when we were under the law and we were lost, every sin we ever committed just kept digging that pit deeper and deeper. And that's what Paul's talking about. You see, we were bringing about our own doom. Every sin, deeper and deeper. But I love verse 6. Because he says two words to begin that verse that always thrills my heart. You see, before, when we were under the law, we did all these things. But look at what he says. But now! Oh, I love that. When he says, but now, that means that was then, but now. Because you've been redeemed. You've been washed by the blood. But now, we're delivered from the law. Folks, aren't you thankful you don't have to keep the law to go to heaven? But you know what's sad? There's a lot of people trying. They're trying to do a whole list of do's and don'ts. And it's got to be miserable. For me and Lori got a good friend. He's a good guy, honest guy. Morally, you can't beat this guy with a stick. He's a great guy. But he's a Seventh-day Adventist. He believes in a little grace, a little law, and a whole lot of works. That won't get you to heaven. It's Jesus and Him alone. Period. It says, but now we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, and we were dead in sins and trespasses. Go to Oh, let me find it. I know it's in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. By the way, Paul wrote Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He wrote pretty much all of it, didn't he? Notice what he says in verse 1, Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened, you he's made alive, who were dead in what? Trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But there is another beautiful two words. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Now go back to verse 6 and look at what it says. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit. Before, dead in sins and trespasses, the law was held over our heads. But because of what Christ did by going to the cross and making atonement for our sins with His death on the cross, and by imputing His righteousness, when God sees me and you as His children, those of us that are born again, He sees the righteousness of His Son. Amen. Get this. You see, me and you don't have to keep the law anymore. And thank God we don't. Because I'm going to tell you. Because of what Jesus did, God is satisfied. God is pleased with what the Son did. And if you are in Christ, guess what? Because of what Jesus did, He's pleased with you too. That's good stuff. He's pleased with us. Real quick, we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now let me say this and I'll hush. We have been saved and delivered from the law. We're dead to it. We've been saved unto good works to bear fruit, right? Yes. And to break that down, it simply means that we are slaves to Christ our Master. And our business and our desire should be to please the Master. That should be the only thing on our mind. I'm not going to say we're going to be perfect, because we can't be this side of eternity. We will be one day. But our desire should be to please Him. You see, we're slaves. And there's a lot of folks that have a problem with that word slaves. But He is our Master. And by the way, slave means servant. Me and you that are born again are servants to Christ. And let me just say this. God is not like some employer where He hires us. And if we want to work, we can. And if we don't, we don't. And if we get rattled and we get mad at Him, we just go, well, I'm going to change and I'll just go somewhere else and go to work. No, it's not that way. You see, God expects me and you, because He saved us, to serve Him. Wherever we are, that's where we serve Him. We don't have an option. And I hate to say it, but today most Baptists act like they have an option. I'll serve God when I want to, if I want to. Nope. You better get your act together because you're asking for it. Listen, God did not save us just to bless us. He saved us to serve. Amen? So my question in close is this. Who's your master this morning? Is it the law or is it Christ? That's a question only you can answer. Who's your master? Aren't you tired trying to keep the law? You should be. Because that's not what's going to get you to heaven. You see, it boils down to two things. See, the law pictures bondage. Grace pictures liberty and freedom. What do you have this morning? Bondage or freedom and liberty? Only you can answer that. You know how miserable a person must be thinking they have to do this list of this and that. You know how tiring that would be? You don't have to do those things because Jesus did it for you. Amen. As I said earlier, we have God's approval. Not based upon what we did, how good we were, but according to who Jesus is. And because of what He did for us. So, my question, who are you married to? Who's your husband? I hope you say Christ. Would you stand with me, please?